Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Engage for Success Radio and show number 532 in our weekly series. Engage for Success is a not-for-profit movement and the UK's leading voice on the topic of employee engagement. We are out there raising awareness and running events through our area networks around the country, and our topic and sector-specific thought and action groups are developing research, publishing case studies, and shining a light on all the great practice out there. You can visit engageforsuccess.org to learn more, and while you're there, why not sign up for our weekly newsletter so you never miss out on any of our great free resources, events, and updates. And I'm Andy Gorham, your host for today's show and founder of BizJuicer, the employee engagement, retention, and culture change consultancy that helps businesses become stickier from the inside out. Now then, gender equality isn't a new topic for this show. We've been dealing with the many related topics for years. Some issues have moved forward. Others have a very long way to go. Just recently, though, the plight of the working parents and the traditional roles within the family group have been more prevalent in the news. People in Ireland just 10 days ago on the 8th of March were asked to vote on proposed amendments to their constitution with regards to the concept of the family and marriage and the care amendment, which challenged the traditional view of a woman's place being in the home, recognising that family care should be non-gender specific and can affect everyone's right to work. But unbelievably, these were rejected by the Irish public, which seemingly is more of a political statement directed towards the Irish government from the people, because they just weren't having the tangible benefits for changing the constitution presented properly. And then the recent UK spring budget highlighted the costs of childcare and saw changes to child benefit, but at the same time also showed the massive financial issues that exist for many to even consider taking up the full offer of maternity and paternity cover available. This is all alongside the other well-trodden paths with issues around support, discrimination, stereotypes, and all-round poor practice that still exists. So, with me today to discuss what this is all doing to working parents, their engagement and organisational culture, are Alison Green and Helen Satchev from WOMBA, which stands for Work, Me and the Baby, which is a specialist coaching practice that provides practical and psychological support to working parents. They help organisations build inclusive cultures, support working parents as they manage their careers and upskill accredited coaches to add diversity and inclusion to their coaching practices too. So, welcome to the show, Alison and Helen.
Hi,
thanks for having us.
Lovely to have you both here. This is always fun when we have two people as to, well, who's going to speak and whose turn is it next? And being British, we're all very, very polite. But don't worry, we'll make this work beautifully. It all sounds seamless. Now, I think this is a very timely conversation. But before we get stuck into all of that, Alison, perhaps you could just give us a brief, better introduction to WOMBA and why it came about and where WOMBA's focus is today.
So we agree with you, Andy. It's timely and topical today. Mm. But WOMBA was actually founded back in 2015, so almost 10 years ago.
There you go.
And possibly a bit before its time. And it was founded with a desire to help all parents who are returning to work thrive and eliminate the negative association between parenting and career progression. And it was one of the founders, Dan, who back in 2015, again before his time, he was taking extended paternity leave. And he watched as mums got ready to return back to work and just saw how challenging it was and what happened to their confidence as they prepared to return back to work and went back to work. So that's where the idea came from, and recognizing that we're just actually with a bit of coaching support and a bit of coaching help, it was invaluable to those parents as they returned back to work. if we sort of jump ahead to 2024, it's still almost impossible for two working parents to both achieve a fulfilling career. But I think there's now a wider recognition of that. And you described some of the things happening at a government level. There are societal changes. There are organisational changes. It does feel as though things are really starting to shift now.
Well, I think we're going to dig into a lot of those things about what society and businesses and governments say and do, as I suspect there may be some gaps in some of those things. But let's pause before we get into that, because I know there's some very important research that's going on. And Helen, if I can turn to you, the research that you've been conducting into the issues affecting working parents are, well, they're still live. So why is the important timely and important from that perspective for you?
Well, you just mentioned the word gap, and that's a very appropriate word, because the gender pay gap, which, as we know, is a difference in the average wages of what women are paid versus men, starts at about the time that a woman has her child, and it actually continues for the next 20 years until, as her first child turns 20, she will be earning 30% less than her male peer. That's as a professional woman, 20% if it's in a non-professional job. So that's huge. And a lot of research into this area that already exists that shows about 67% of the gender pay gap is due to the fact that a woman has a child. So our research very much wanted to understand what on earth was going on around that period, because if you can understand it, there's potentially work that you can do with organisations to address it. So that's why we set about doing the research.
And its timeliness right now feels like we're hitting a bit of a sweet spot or a perfect storm with everything that's going on, or perhaps we're being made more aware of in the news right now.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think we're all aware there's probably going to be a change in government, or there's certainly going to be the possibility of. And the government is, both governments, the current and the future potential, are interested in topics that have a broad reach. And we know that in terms of people that are in work, something like 80 to 85% of those will at some point become a parent. So most people can relate to that. The other point is, from an organisational perspective, is that retention is a huge topic. Mm. And gender diversity is also a huge topic. And most of the direction of travel, it points back to the point at which a woman has her child. And I'm sure Alison will talk as well in terms of what that means for men, because it's also changing for men in terms of their attitudes towards parenting.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is an interesting thing to get into, because it feels to me like we're seeing multiple changes in the sort of labour landscape. You know, there's generational stuff, there's gender stuff, there's political stuff, there's financial stuff. My goodness me, it's as if we weren't dealing with enough right now. Now, I can't, as a volunteer for Engage for Success, tear myself away from our kind of foundation pieces of the four enablers of engagement and the things that we espouse every day here. And I love the fact that you use the word thrive in your introduction. If I look at the four enablers as we see them, I can see links for this subject across all four of them, but mainly because I'm such a poor host, with the time that we've actually got today, which isn't very much, I think we would struggle to talk meaningfully about all of this if we try to cover all four of them. So I think I would like us to sort of dig into organizational integrity, and I've used the word gap. Helen, you've used the word gap, and you've stated, both of you, why this topic is important. And from my perspective, society and businesses in particular profess to agree and also say that it's important, but I'm not sure that matches up to the reality. So let's dig into this word gap. What are the gaps as you see them? What's really happening, and what needs to happen to close some of those gaps? I'll leave that open. Whoever would like to take that on, take it on.
I'm happy to leap into the gap, Andy, as a starter.
Well, I'm here to catch you, so it's fine.
Thank you. And perhaps if I start with a more positive take on what is happening and where we perhaps see a gap starting to close. So as you say, there are societal changes, there are generational changes. We know that more and more dads believe that it's equally fine for them to share caring responsibilities. I think it's around 90% of dads have that view. Yet we know that take up of shared parental leave is really low. It's around 2 to 4%. So perhaps that's an example of one of the gaps.
Yes, incredible,
but,
isn't it?
It is, yeah. But we know that there are some organisations out there who are closing that gap and closing that gap fast. So at latest count, there were 74 organisations, and it's growing all the time, who are offering equal parental leave to mums and dads. And when that is being offered, there is a really high level of take-up of that parental leave by both mums and by dads. So I think that's an example of where we're starting to see the gap closing, where organisations are putting in place some really, I want to use the word progressive, they should just be there anyway, but they are, you know, progressive policies that are making a difference to the lives of working parents, are creating gender equal opportunities for mums and for dads in those organisations.
And are they on the same sort of financial basis in those policies? Because I think just after the budget release, there were plenty of stories coming out from fathers who were saying, well, I would love to be able to take the time that I'm allowed is available, but I just cannot afford to at the rate that it's being paid. So is there equity in the financial element of those policies, or is it purely a time-based piece?
That's at the nub of this. So
yeah.
I think the latest research was 70% of dads couldn't afford to take the time off.
Mm-hmm.
And these organisations are offering equal pay to mums and to dads for that parental leave. And that makes such a difference to the levels of take-up for the policy, because it then becomes financially possible. And with the research that Womber have done with Holt International Business School, the biggest fear for dads was actually the financial implications of them taking parental leave. So once you remove that, we are seeing a good level of take-up of parental leave by dads.
Yeah, and which is fantastic, because it's important for both parents to get that time to bond with the newborn and take on those parenting responsibilities. What does that say for how fit for purpose the majority of existing policies are today? Maybe I can come to you, Helen, on that one.
Well, I think the intention behind a lot of the policies is often good. So people are coming from the right place in terms of actually putting these policies together. And the thing that both Alice and I will say whenever we have this sort of conversation is that it's a very complicated area, and there are no simple fixes, because if there were, they probably would be in place.
Yes.
But the stage number one is putting those sort of good policies in place. So however you have come to create a family, there is now a lot more quality in terms of the policies that exist. So whether you adopt or if you have a child through natural childbirth, there's a lot more equality. But as Alison said, the number one barrier that's created a gap between those that do and those that don't is the finances. So the organisations that offer enhanced parental leave, which is the phrase we would look out for, and I noticed that young people in particular are starting to challenge their organisations that they are in and also looking to join as to whether the parental leave is actually paid or not, and if it's paid, at what level it's paid. So that's the number one priority, is getting that finance in place once the policies are there. If we then move on to the more cultural aspects, so probably the second fear for both men and women is that if they do take this time away from work, what's it going to do to their careers? And through the research that we did, that was an equal number of men and women that we talked to through the first phase of the research, the fear of what taking an elongated time away from work would do to their careers was a real, was a really genuine concern for both mums and dads. So a culture where it's safe to take that time off and not worry about your, you know, what is going to happen when you come back is a second big area to tackle for organisations.
I mean, I even in my own experiences and career, talking to team members and frankly being put in some situations that I would not have chosen to be in, it must feel like an incredibly vulnerable time for some people, particularly if an organisation is, we talk about organisations having their heart in the right place, but there's lots of organisations really struggling financially to cope with the impact of the last few years. And I can imagine it being an incredibly troubling time. Not that it should have any bearing on any decisions, but if you're going off on maternity or paternity leave at a business that is in difficult times, that must be an incredibly worrying perspective.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think from organisations' point of view, perhaps one way to look at it is to say, okay, quite often you've invested a lot of time and money in developing a professional person in your organisation who's highly effective before they go off and take enhanced parental leave. And what would be the cost of actually replacing that person, both in terms of recruitment fees and also whilst that person settles into the organisation and gets up to speed? It's absolutely huge. So if you look at the hard facts around this, it's better to retain than it is to replace. So from an organisation perspective, that's probably a good starting point. But there are then sort of softer skills. We're still in a full employment market. People have choices in terms of where they choose to work. So what we see is the levels of engagement and loyalty of working parents, if they're treated well when they do return to work, is enormous. So what they give back in terms of loyalty and engagement is absolutely huge. And that's a, it's another strong reason to fight hard to keep people.
And looking at the research that you've done, all that is in existence, and thinking about often the people who are caught in the middle of trying to facilitate these conversations or policies, what are you seeing in terms of the support given to, you know, departmental managers dealing with employees looking for support for maternity, paternity? Are you seeing any good examples, any positive changes in the support that managers receive?
I think there are two parts to that, Andy. And I think the first part is just recognising how critical the manager is for both working mums and working dads. And we heard some amazing examples in the research of some brilliant managers who were able to empathise with their working parents, who were able to offer the support, who managed to work the system in a way that, you know, got a really good result for what the working parent needed to be able to, you know, manage the transition to working parenthood. And we also had some examples, awful examples, in terms of lack of support and actually the reason somebody eventually had to leave an organisation because they didn't feel they had the support. So it is absolutely critical, the role of manager. And Helen and I know, so we've done work with managers to upskill them in this area. It is really complex and it is hard for managers. It might not come along that often in terms of having to, you know, support their employee through this transition. And there are so many aspects to it. And they're quite fearful, again, of getting it wrong, saying the wrong thing. So we know that training and equipping managers to have good conversations with their working parents is essential. And again, there are some organisations who are investing in this, who are supporting their managers, and it is making an enormous difference. And also just translates into being a good manager, upskilling, having good conversations with people as they're getting ready to go on parental leave, as they're coming back. The skills they're developing they can then take more widely into their manager practice.
Yeah, I mean, I said we would try and cover one of the enablers of engagement. We're wandering here into engaging managers, and rightly so. And I think the point you make about engagement and retention being a two-way street on this issue, not just affecting the focal point here in terms of the parents themselves, but the emotional effect on the managers who perhaps want to be able to help, feel not able to, feel could be carrying an awful lot of emotional stress, strain, leading to burnout, and actually, like you said, even saying, actually, this organization isn't supporting me in this, I'm looking for somewhere else. So, you know, there could end up being a double, I sound like a little naysayer today, I mean, a real double kind of problem with engagement and retention on the back of that too.
Yeah.
I think that's very right, Andy, because what we see is managers are hugely pressurized. So they're pressurized to do the right thing by the people that are working for them, but they also have a lot of responsibility to the people that are above them. So we've sometimes described them as a squeezed middle. So there's a massive pressure on this group, but with a relatively small amount of training and support, we can give them the confidence to actually have the right conversations with their working parents and better equip them with the skills that they need.
Which I think is fascinating. I also think what's really interesting is the work or the coaching work that you're doing with the working parents themselves. So tell us about that. What does that look like? What sort of help do you give? What sort of support are you giving these individuals, and how are they benefiting?
So the support that we offer working parents is three coaching sessions at those key stages as they're making the transition from worker to working parent. And the first coaching intervention is as they're preparing for their parental leave. So they make a really good exit, having career conversations if they want to before they go, thinking about how they're going to use their keep in touch days, for example, quite practical. That helps them make a really good, well-planned exit. We then support them as they're thinking about how they want to return back to work, on what basis, what conversation they need to have, what's going to work for them and their organisation. And then finally, once they're back at work and they've been back a couple of months, a third coaching session, just to work through how it is in practice and what adjustments, changes they might need to make. This sounds so simple, Andy, and forgive me for this, but at the heart of the coaching is just helping a working parent manage their expectations of each of those stages and what they can realistically do. Because so often they expect almost to be superhuman and come back to work, and on the first week, you know, they're back up and running again and everything's exactly as it was before, which of course it can't possibly be. They've changed, the organisation's changed. And it's just helping them sort of manage their expectations so they can smoothly and confidently return back to work, reminding them of their professional identity and all those amazing things they did before their parental leave. And those things are still inside, and getting back in touch with that.
Because I think that's really an important point here, is because you don't know what you don't know, I suppose, going into those conversations. And actually just the preparation alone of maybe what to expect in that conversation, and you know, how you should prepare for that and what the options might be and how you might put those forward, because maybe things have changed, but or we talked about changing, but you could expect that the HR department is going to lead that discussion and have your best interests at heart, and I'm sure many do, but the policy in the main is there to keep the business away from the courts and keep everybody kind of the same and in line. And so actually having some personal coaching on how to approach those conversations, I'm sure would be incredibly beneficial for someone just from a confidence perspective.
That's so insightful, because up until that point in our career, often the organisation has stepped in, and especially we progress our careers, but we get to this stage and it's appreciating and realizing how much as a parent we might need to lean in and have that conversation with the manager or with the HR department, be aware of what our choices and options are, and, you know, speak up in terms of what is going to work for us.
And where do you see the most benefit that the working parents take really from these sort of the coaching support, the interventions that you're making? What feedback are you getting?
So the feedback is, perhaps if I give a stat first, which is around 90% of working parents who receive coaching support, our coaching support, value it and would recommend it. So we know sort of as an intervention, it does help working parents. The sorts of things we hear from them is returning to work with more confidence, that they are realistic in terms of what they can achieve, set out a plan for their return, give themselves time to settle in. They almost do expect the unexpected, in terms of, as you say, it's the first time somebody will probably have been through this.
Mm.
So, you know, they might need to think about, you know, when their baby might be ill, so they might need to take time off work, and those things are going to happen, and that's absolutely fine. I don't know if you want to add anything, Helen.
Well,
probably
what
the only thing
you...
I would add, actually, sorry, the only thing
no,
I would add is that it's amazing how many parents 2 months after returning to work are already thinking about their career.
Yeah.
So if they've had a good exit and they've had a reasonable return, what they tell us with the research is that they love their jobs and they quite often love their organisations. So the opportunity to actually spell out what their career is and to be able to articulate it to the manager, one of the things that we do help them with is getting their thoughts straight and getting prepared for those conversations. Because there's an awful lot of assumptions that are made that parents, and particularly women, don't value their careers as much after they've had children, which in our experience is just not true at all.
Yeah, which would be quite sad if that was a fact as well, wouldn't it? In very short order, I wonder, Helen, if I could ask you, if you had a magic wish and you had the ability to make one big change in this whole area that we've talked about today, what would that be?
So if I could ask for one thing, it would be that organisations can offer equalised parental leave, so paid time off for both mums and dads, so that they both can experience what it is to be the primary child carer, and therefore that will enable a woman's career to continue.
And maybe hopefully get a few more dads to take up the full offer too, right, and join in that parenting experience in as much as they are able to. This is a fascinating topic that we have merely scratched the surface of, but I really thank you both for coming on to today's show and just bringing it closer to the front of our minds. I think there's an awful lot to think about in that, and seemingly still a lot of progress that's needed, but by what sounds to me from what you're doing, hopefully many more working parents and managers are going to be in a better situation. What I would like to say is I still know that the survey is still open, right? So if people do still want to take part in the research, where should they go? Where can they find it?
So if they go to the homepage of Womba Group, which is our website, there's a banner that goes across that. And if they click on that banner, they can then be taken straight to the survey. And we'd love to have as many parents as possible continuing adding to that into the research.
Brilliant. So look, there you go. If you're a working parent or about to be a working parent, there's your invitation to join in, have your say, and be part of that research, which will clearly help lots of people going forward. Brilliant. Alison, Helen, thanks so much for sharing your thoughts, your experiences and advice with us. But that, sadly, is just about all we have time for today. Everybody, don't forget to visit engagesuccess.org and check out the show notes, as well as all our fab free engagement resources. And also, while you're there, you can download or stream any of the previous great shows from the archive completely at your leisure. We'll be back again at the same time next week. I'm Andy Gorham, and thanks for listening to Engage for Success Radio.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.